I want to talk to us from the framework or the thought of this, trusting God to give you resources. Trusting God to give you resources. Trusting God to give you resources. And let's see. I want to start with Exodus 35. Exodus 35, 4 through 9. It reads like this. It says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Whoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. I want you to say the Lord's contribution. Come on, say it again. The Lord's contribution. Let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, and bronze, and purple, and blue, and purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and porpoise skins, and Acacia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. Now, God has brought them out of Egypt. He now has them where he wants to take them, where he's beginning to take them. You remember that when word came to Moses to when he was sent to Pharaoh, what was his message to Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may come and worship me. Let my people go that they may come and worship me. So God, working through Moses, began to speak a word to bring them out of the place of bondage. Now, the question oftentimes when you read this text is, where did they get the resources? Where did they get the resources? This is why, listen, when we read it and it says, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. I'm talking about trusting God to give you resources. Trusting God to give you resources. Because when I begin to think about, okay, so what God requires of you and I, when he requires it, he has already made preparation for it. When God requires of you and I, he has already made preparation for it. That's why I like this, and Pastor Deborah put this on the pledge card. It says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance. Come on, say abundance. Say a little louder, abundance. An abundance for every good work. I'm talking about trusting God to give you resources. And so when I was reading this and I was just thinking about God places this demand, and what he's doing is he's now calling them to bring resources to build the tabernacle. To build the tabernacle that will be the meeting place where they will come and where the presence of God will rest. And as I began to read through it, I was reminded of how it started. And this is one of the things that I want to make clear or get before us and get it in our thinking is this. God fulfills his word even through the generations. God fulfills his word even through the generations. That's why I get excited and blessed when I see families passing on to future generations what they've learned in God. the experiences that they've had in God, that then adds strength, if you will, to those that are coming behind us. Because God can speak a word in one generation with the intent of fulfilling it in another generation. And somewhere in that, we have to recognize what our part is. Are we a part of fulfilling a word, or are we a part of establishing a word that will be fulfilled later on? Stewarding a word to make sure it gets passed on. We are in a season of trusting God for resources, for immense resources. There are some of you under the sound of my voice, you have your own businesses and different things. Any one of you just okay with just getting by? How many of you, you may not even be an entrepreneur, a business owner, but how many of you say, I could do some things with a few million dollars? Now put your hands down. Now, how many of you are believing for a few million dollars? Put your hands down. Everybody raise your hand for that. You know, it's kind of like, how many want to go to heaven? Everybody raise their hand for that. Yeah. Yeah, that's about how that works. Now then the question becomes, what are you doing to position yourself for those kind of resources? And are you navigating through your faith walk in a way that positions you and causes you to be one that God can call on, and you be one who can stand up in the midst of a situation and speak into it and see God's results happen for you? God is speaking to them, and he says, I need you to bring all these things here because of something I'm about to do. But what I want you to see is this plan was in the heart of God 430 years before. Everybody say 430 years. Come on, 430 years. That means that God is watching a word unfold, marking time to fulfill it. And I believe that we are living in a time when God has purposed to release resources because he said it a while ago. That in this season, in this generation, there would be the releasing of resources to accomplish the greater purposes of God in the earth. God is raising up a body of believers who are not trying to just go to church any longer, but be the church. Be about it. Getting things done. And recognizing in order to fulfill what God has purposed to do in my life, it's going to take some things happening. It's going to take some resources. I posture myself. I position myself. I look for those things to come in order to fulfill what God has stated. So what God is doing as a result of his word, he's now requiring of them something that he promised them years ago. It started with Abraham. In Genesis 15, let's walk through this real quick. In Genesis 15, 12 through 14, it says this. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said, Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, but I will also judge the nation whom they serve, and afterwards they will come out with possessions. This This is 430 years before this comes to manifestation. And so we fast forward to Moses. Now, Exodus 3. Moses sees the burning bush. He goes up to the burning bush. He has the encounter with God. And God begins to talk to him about the call. Answer the call. It's Jesus. He begins to talk to him about the call. And in the midst of pulling him into purpose and destiny, this is what he says to Moses. But I know that, verse 19, but I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. Says, I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. What's he talking about now? He's now talking about the very promise he made to Abraham. See, God has a way of speaking something in one generation, finding someone else in another generation, and speaking a word to them that connects with the word that was spoken in previous generations. But with that comes a responsibility on our part to receive the word in our generation. Come on, I need y'all to stay with me on this. I need you to think about this. I need you to get this on the inside of you. Here's one of the points. You are the fulfillment of a word that God's possibly spoke in a previous generation. You are the fulfillment of a word that God spoke maybe in another generation. Folks have gone on. But now he speaks to you. Now he's speaking to Moses and says, I'm going to let them go, and they will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. It says, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. Hear this. Hear this. This is God saying, I'm fulfilling my word. I established a covenant with Abraham, and I told him, your folk are going to be on lockdown for over 400 years. But when it's all said and done, I'm going to come and get them. And when they come out, they're going to come out blessed. They're going to come out with increase. He's speaking to Moses, helping Moses to understand, I am working through you to fulfill a word spoken, a prayer prayed in a previous generation. I need us to connect this. I need you to connect this. Because if you're going to be able to trust God for resources, you got to see a bigger picture than your Monday through Friday or your life from week to week, month to month. You got to be able to see a bigger picture. You got to say, God, give me a glimpse of why this is so significant now. It doesn't seem to, as I said, answer the call. It's Jesus. And when I talked about it, I said one of the things, the first thing is, it's inconvenient. It's incomprehensible. It's inconceivable. It like goes over your head. God speaks something, it just goes over your head. You got to be in the position to grab a hold of it and to catch it. And sometimes in order for you to do that, you need some history. You need some information that helps you recognize why this would make sense now. And so one of the things that God is doing for me right now, as we're walking out this place of ridiculous faith, he keeps bringing information to me to help me recognize this isn't just about Heirs Covenant Church finding a place to worship. God is fulfilling a word that came forth in past generations. He's fulfilling prayers that have been prayed in past generations. I'm not seeking it out. I'm not even at, it's just showing up. I'm just getting texts. Information. And this is one that I got Saturday morning at 7:30. I was still asleep. I just didn't get it. I got it later in the day. But here's my point. But this man of God is up at 7:30 in the morning. Praying, talking to God. This is what he sends me. John, I have continued to pray for the embassy. I have been drawn into a wider prayer focus that includes the entire neighborhood the city has designated as Jefferson. That's what we're talking about. One of Hamilton's city council members works for me at the court part-time, and we talked about the Jefferson neighborhood yesterday. This morning, I am attending a full gospel breakfast that is held at the embassy. The president of the local Full Gospel Businessmen Association is Bob Gay. Bob taught at the embassy when it was Roosevelt Junior High. I need to hear how that's framed. Bob taught at the embassy when it was Roosevelt Junior High. He didn't say God taught at Roosevelt Junior High where the embassy is going to be. God taught. He said Bob taught at the embassy when it was Roosevelt Junior High. Bob coached the basketball team to more than 100 consecutive wins. In 1978, when the school board announced that Roosevelt would close in 1990, Bob walked the halls of the building with Josh Willis and claimed the building for the Lord. There are existing wells to be redone. I'm talking about God fulfilling his word through the generations and bringing the resources needed to fulfill it. See, God knew. Listen, God knew. He sees all. He knows all. So he's talking to Abraham. While he's talking to Abraham, he already sees the people of God having brought it, come out of Egypt, and recognize when they're going to come out, they're going to need some stuff because I'm going to ask them to do some stuff. Let me say that again. They're going to need some resources when they come out because of some things I'm going to require of them. So I need to set it up so that when they come out, even though it's going to look like they have been treated the most harsh ways and there's nothing left to their lives, when they come out, I'm going to bless them when they come out because they're going to need the resources to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish in them and through them and for them moving forward. I need about six more of y'all to say something with the three that just did. I'm pulling us. I'm pulling us out of this mundane place to be able to visualize and see from this kingdom perspective, from God's perspective. That when God said, when God spoke to Moses and said, tell them I need these things from them, it wasn't like work out how to get it. He knew they had it because he, over 430 years prior, he said, this will be your reality. You will have what you need and then some. You will have what you need and then some. You will have what you need and then some. You will have what you need and then some. He says, I will grant the people favor. I'm back to Exodus 3 now, 19 through 22. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Says, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor. And the woman who lives in her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. And then you move a little further. Exodus 11, 1 through 3. God instructs Moses to tell the people now to ask. Why? Because see, the setup is coming. The setup is coming. It says this. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on the people. On Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and gold. The Lord gave the people sight, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's service and in the sight of the people. God says, now tell them to ask. Tell them to ask. You know, one of the things that I've come to realize in doing things by faith, there is the element of the ask. Asking God. But sometimes it's not just asking God, but God showing you, speaking to you something, showing you someone, and giving you the courage to ask. Some of you are doing what you're doing right now because you've acquired that courage to ask. When you believe confidently in what God is doing and what God is saying, it can move you to the place of asking. When you're unsure, when you're wavering, you usually don't ask. But how many of you know that as a parent, and you have children, and you're raising your children, you're taking care of your children, how many of you as a parent would be kind of disturbed if every time your child came to you, they were fearful to ask you? How many of you know something would be wrong with that? And all you've done is love them, and all you've done is care for them. And all you've done is provide for them. But every time they need, they're fearful to ask. That speaks of something wrong in the relationship, in the natural. It speaks of something wrong in the spirit, in the relationship. That when God speaks something to you and I, when he shows us, when he casts vision, he brings vision, purpose, and destiny to us, he says, now don't be timid to ask for what you need. Don't be timid to ask for what you need. So as I mentioned, in addition to us starting our own capital campaign, I sat down and crafted a letter and put together this brochure piece that we've sent out asking. God said to Moses, tell him to ask now. Why? Because the favor is going to be on him. I'm speaking to some of you right now. You need to start asking. That was three. One, two, three. Yeah. You need to start asking. You need to start asking. You need to start asking. The favor's on you right now to ask. The favor's on you right now to ask. I declare the favor's on you right now to ask. The favor's on you right now. The same favor that was on the children of Eden. The favor's on you right now to ask. I'm going to keep saying it just a little bit longer. The favor's on you right now to ask. The favor's on you right now to ask, Kevin. The favor's on you right now to ask. The favor's right now on you to ask, Kelvin. The favor's on you right now to ask, Nina. The favor's on you right now to ask. The favor's on you right now to ask. The favor is on you right now to ask, Sean. The favor's on you right now to ask, Tara. The favor's on you right. Oh, the favor, the favor, the favor. There is a releasing of favor right now. Everybody just stand up for just a second. Everybody stand up for just a second. Everybody stand up for a second. Come on, just stand up for a second. I just feel like almost like I'm force feeding you, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather stop and just go get something to eat myself. Come on, just for a moment. Just kind of shake yourself. Come on. Is it warm in here? Is it just me? I mean, is the air on or what? Okay. All right. Is it cold? Oh, y'all cold? Jesus, I'm burning up. Hallelujah. Come on, just a moment. Come on. Come on, that's good. Come on, look at somebody and say, stay with me. Come on, stay with Apostle. Come on, I'm just taking them up. Come on, I'm just trying to, yeah, come on. Eric, you must be on the keys, man. No, it's okay, just stay right there. Glory to God. Come on, just a moment. Come on. Come on, that's right, Ronald, shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Charles, you can move a little bit. Come on, don't be all stiff, man. Shake it off, man. Come on, I'm shifting something in the atmosphere. I'm really not playing. I know I'm trying to make it enjoy, but I'm really not playing. Because you got to understand what God is doing, what he's inviting us into. Okay? When I talk about trusting God for resources, many live beneath the place that God intended because they never really understood that dynamic of trusting God for resources and then believing him to bring it to you however he has purposed to bring it to you. Position yourself. Have the courage to ask. Have the courage to ask. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, come on, you can be seated. I'm a just keep going here and get us where we need to go. Okay? But I need y'all to stay engaged with what I'm saying to you. Because I'm telling you, things are happening. Things are happening. I don't want to share a lot this week because I need to be able to pinpoint some things next week for you. But when I tell you God is moving, he is moving. That text I just read to you was from Judge in the city. As I said, already calling it the embassy, already sees it being that. And that reality is because we stepped into it. Come on, say, we stepped into it. We stepped into it. And we stepped into it collectively. I want to keep moving so I can move us into our time of worship and giving for today. But God instructs Moses to tell them to ask. Now, that's in Exodus 11. Now, I want you to look here at Exodus 12 and 35. It says this. Now, the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. Means Moses speaks to them. It's time to go. It says, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Hear me when I say to you, we are in a season of favor that when you ask, the request will be granted. That when you ask, the request will be granted. The stage is already set. God is serious about his covenant. He is serious about his covenant with his people. It's in Deuteronomy 7:7-9. It says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, talking about Abraham now, it says, the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of slavery from the land of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the Father of God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousandth generation. That means we're talking of what's a thousand generations? That's you, me, the next, the next, the next. I mean, it's God working. Some of us are here right now because God has honored his covenant. Because God has honored his covenant. Our assignment is to fulfill that which God has purposed to do as he fulfills his covenant. Now, I'm back to God requesting through Moses the articles. But I need you to see how God himself fulfilled his word. They had what they had because he set it up so they could have it. Recognizing it would be for an appointed time. A lesson that many of us understand, and for all of us, we need to get, and that is this. And I remember hearing my bishop talk about it. how that oftentimes someone will bless you with resources, and immediately, he said, his mind, he started thinking about what he can buy that he wanted to buy, but he couldn't buy because he didn't have the money, but now he's got the money. You ever do that? Well, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer, and I can go out and buy that new whatever it is. However, what if the resources given to you are really not for you? But you're the steward of those resources to be used as an appointed time for somebody else. Now, I want to tell you that revelation and that stewardship positions you for abundance. It positions you for abundance. Now, I'm needing to hammer this. I'm needing to press this through. And the reason why, because I recognize some folk are just trying to pay a bill. Just trying to get to Friday. Just trying to get to the next paycheck. I get that. But can I tell you something? It grieves the heart of the Father because he never intended for that to be our reality. He never intended for that to be your reality. And it doesn't have to be your reality any longer. Can I get some few more folks just to thank you, Jesus? Come on. They were enslaved for over 400 years, had nothing. They even took the straw when they were trying to make bricks to make it even harder on what they were doing. And when God showed up and blew through there with all them plagues, and by the last one, said, "We're going to get you out of here." God said, "Now, I made a promise to a guy some years ago that some of you've heard about. His name's Abraham. And when Abraham and I established the covenant, I told him that these things were going to happen. I said, but I also told him that, but when I came to get you, you weren't going to come out empty-handed. That you were going to come out with abundance." Every time you go through something, every time you endure something, you can believe to come out on the other side of it, blessed and increased, and manifest abundance in your life. It's how God works. It's how God works. It's in Exodus 35, 29. 20 through 29. It says, "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence." It says, "Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all the service, for all the holy garments." Now I want you to see this again. The Lord's contribution. The Lord's contribution. It doesn't say, "and brought their contribution." The Lord's contribution. And it goes on and it reads all of the things that they brought. And then in Exodus 36, it says this. Verse 1, "Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person in whom the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all of the Lord, all that the Lord has commanded. Then the Lord commanded Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to work to perform it. They received from Moses all the contributions," listen to this, "which the sons of Israel had brought every morning, had brought to perform the work of the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were preparing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing, and said to Moses, listen to this, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord has commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained. The people were restrained from bringing any more, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform. Come on, yeah, that's a good me too. That's a me too moment right there. That everything needed, they had it and then some, and they kept bringing it. They kept bringing it, and they kept bringing it till they had to go to Moses and say, look, we got enough. We got enough. And then it said they had to restrain. Don't bring one more thing up in here. Now, we just told you we got enough. Isn't that great? Go bless somebody else. Go be a blessing to somebody else. Bless each other. But we have what we need to accomplish what the Lord has called us to do. God fulfills his word through the generations. And we must trust God to give us the resources to fulfill our part. I submit to some of you, he's already brought you the resources. He's already bringing you the resources. But when the resources come, you must recognize what the resources are for. For when the word came to them to supply these things, it says that it doesn't say that any of them withheld any part. But so much so, they brought so much that they had to tell him, it's time to stop now. Worship team, come on up. Eric. Pastor Arnold. Have you ever just kind of sat and wondered, where is my abundance?
Yes.
Where is my abundance? Where is my increase? You get inspired by hearing other teachers and preachers and believers talk about the increase in their life. I want to say this to you, those of you joined to this house. We are in the season of an incredible paradigm shift that's happening. We are in the middle of a season of an incredible paradigm shift happening. And it's not happening just as it relates to the house and a move to a new location. It's happening in the individual lives to move us all collectively.
Amen.
Into a better place.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
But I submit to you that you don't get there without real intentionality of acknowledging where you are and what you need to do to get there. Mm-hmm. And once God shows you where you are and you acknowledge where you are, he can help you get there. He can help you get there. This opportunity that's before us, this embassy that God is establishing, is something that is shifting all of us.
Amen.
It's shifting all of us. It's not something that you can take lightly. After all the praise, after all the worship,
that's right,
you got to get down to the details of how it happens. And then you press into it. I was telling Pastor Marisa this morning, I said I was on the phone last night with Pastor George. Pastor George, if you're listening, watching, you and Pastor Sandra, we love you.
Amen.
Give you a shout out. Would you thank the Lord for Pastor George and Pastor Sandra? He's home healing wonderfully.
Amen.
From back surgery. Amen. Sandra's healing from shoulder surgery.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
But we're on the phone last night and we're just going through the numbers, the details. Say details.
Details.
How many know that God looks at details?
Yes. Yes.
Now, do you understand that God looks at details?
Yes.
And what I'm finding in this season is the need to be more focused on the details. Because even in the act of faith, there's the details.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
There's the details. There's understanding what needs to be done to get it done. God knew that he was going to bring his people out. He knew that he would bring them out into a wilderness. And he knew that he was going to require of them to build a structure as a place of worship, a meeting place.
Yeah.
And so 430 years before they get out, he tells Abraham, when they come out, they're going to come out with abundance.
Amen.
Now, it just wasn't so they could all come out rich. I believe in wealth. But I believe God gives wealth to establish his covenant.
Amen.
And when they came out, they had the resources that he gave them.
Amen.
But at the time, he would require it. No one had an excuse of saying, I don't have it. I can't do it.
All right.
Now, I know this is a challenging word, because I can feel it. I know it's hidden. This week is going to be a game changer.
Prayers. Amen.
Next Sunday is going to be a game changer.
Thank you, Father.
Prayers.
Thank you, Father.
This week is going to be a game changer for this house. And for as many of you that give yourselves to this week and what God has purposed to do, it will shift your future.
Amen.
Now I'm speaking prophetically, and I need you to hear me. We've entered into this project in raising these funds, not with equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And our approach to that, it's not unlike in Exodus 12 with the Passover. I want you to listen to this and then we're closing out. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. See, everybody is a part of it.
Yes, sir.
Everyone is a part of it. We set goals out there and many are responding. But everybody has something to give. Everybody has something to give. And if you don't have something to give, then have courage to ask. Because I need to be a part of this thing that God is doing.
Amen. Amen.
See, it says if the house was too small, then another house partner with them. You all come together. Whatever it is you're believing for to sow, whatever it is you're believing for, that's your sacrifice. If you're desiring it to be more, get together with someone and say, let's make ours together. Mm-hmm. I was at a concert not too long ago. It came time to do the offering, and I stood up to give my offering, and two ladies sitting next to me. When I stepped over to the one lady, I said to the lady, "Are you going up?" She said, "No, I'm not going up." I said, "Do you need a seed to sow?" She said, "Yeah, I need a seed to sow." So I just took some of mine and gave it to her, and we got up and we walked up there together and gave it.
Amen.
Because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Now it's kind of funny because when she sat down, she says, "Broke as I am, I should have got change."
Well,
I said, well, that's between you and God. You know, once I put it in your hands, it's yours. Now, if the household is too small for the lamb, now, and the reason why I believe God has led to this is because, you know, you can look at this and say, man, this is too big. I can't afford it. I ain't got anything. No, you got something.
You got something.
You got something.
Amen.
Because God's going to provide it. Just like he provided what they needed to build the tabernacle. All you have to say is, God, I want to be a part. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I really want to be a part of what you're doing. I can't see it in my budget, but I want to be a part of what you're doing. I can't see it before me right now, but I really want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Thank you, Father.
It says, goes on and says this, your lamb, your sacrifice, shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And then it says this, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. What's next Sunday?
14th.
It's the 14th day. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they shall eat. And we all know that the significance of that blood on the doorposts was that when death came through Egypt, wherever it saw the blood, it passed over. So listen. So this week, starting tomorrow through Sunday, I'm asking as many of you that can join me in a fast to do just that. Starting tomorrow and ending out at the close of service on the 14th. As many of you that could join me in whatever you can do. I know some of you have busy schedules. Fast television if you have to, whatever. Fast mm-hmm. Fast Facebook. Mm-hmm. But as many of you that can fast food, join me in doing that this week.
Amen.
Starting tomorrow through next Sunday.
Amen.
On the 14th, what we're going to do is we're going to present our offerings our gift, our sacrifice, personally and intentionally. What I mean by that is we're not going to pass up the bucket or anything, but you're going to bring that one because it's going to represent something significant for you, just as the lamb represented something significant for every household. This is an intentional act of obedience that God is honoring in our lives and in this season of Heirs Covenant Church. Trust God for resources. Know that God is honoring His word as you stand on His word. He said, "My word will go forth and not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I please and prosper where into the thing that I have sent it."
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Allow this to be a week that you walk in the courage to ask. I'm not just talking about relative to this giving now. I'm talking about whatever it is in your life that you've been holding back on, that this is the week, these 7 days are days of breakthrough and expansion for you. God is fulfilling His word through the generations. And this word is sobering because what weighs in the balance are souls. Not nice income, nice houses, nice cars, nice vacations, all that. Nothing wrong with that. But what weighs in the balance right about now is souls. And God has positioned us to bring in harvest.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
If you receive this word, would you just say amen right now?
Amen.
Just say amen.
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 Amen.